son of a bitch.
Mildred stepped through the circular hatchway and found herself perched like a bird on a wire over what looked like a factory. She and Uni stood on a narrow gallery. Above and below were other galleries, and from them sprang a webwork of catwalks that spanned the vast area, all interconnected vertically by a system of caged-in lifts. The lifts and walkways were constructed to give access to all levels of the enormous central circulating station and moisture condenser that filled the place. Giant fan blades spun, and greenish liquid coolant flowed through a confusing network of transparent tubes. Huge square conduits rose like skyscrapers, almost out of sight, between a pattern of cooling coils. Water beaded and dripped incessantly from the metal surface of the condenser. It was very cold, very damp, and dank. Though the room was unoccupied, Mildred could see the subtle marks of use. Control consoles and banks of dials and switches surrounded the base of the gargantuan machine, and the chairs in front of them had deep hollows in the faded seat cushions. Despite its size, she could tell that the massive machine had been assembled in a rather piecemeal fashion. It wasn't symmetrical, and it was obvious that many of its working parts had been cannibalized from other machines. Evidently, when the decision to live in a near-freezing environment had been made, the original air conditioning system was modified and re-engineered. Though she couldn't see it from her vantage point, it was clear that the station was connected to a nuclear generator. There was no other way such a massive machine could be powered. Leaning over a guardrail, Mildred peered down at the floor. It was made of concrete and covered by several inches of standing, stagnant water. It drained sluggishly toward huge open grates, scattered like giant poker chips over the floor. Resting on an elevated platform above the water was a row of six half-ovoid generators. It could take hours to find a central switching console that controlled the generators. Besides, she was sure the station had backup power sources and redundancies designed into it. To kill the anthill, she would have to take out the generators. But what she wanted was to orchestrate a thaw, not deprive the entire complex of power. She checked over her complement of grenades and wondered if they were powerful enough to do the job.
Is there another way out of here?
Nodding, Uni pointed to one of the nearby lifts.
That one goes up.
How far?
I don't know, just up.
Studying the generators again, Mildred eyed the thickness of their cast iron casings and gauged that all four grenades might just knock out two of them. However, arranged in a semicircle around the last generator was a collection of pumps, the armatures dipping up and down with a blurring speed. She recognized the machines as air pumps, sucking oxygen from the outside and feeding it into the massive condenser. Her eyes followed the conduit and ductwork, and she recognized particulate filtration systems, coolant distribution, and return networks built into them. Before she took any action, she had to make one final attempt to contact Ryan. She pressed the transmit stud on the receiver.
Ryan! Come in! Ryan, respond! God damn it! Why don't you respond?
Before the door had opened more than a few inches, Ryan was bounding across the office toward the recess between the bookcases. Putting his back to the elevator doors, he held his breath and waited, the Sig Sauer held in a two-handed grip.
Commander?
Doug strolled past him, the Browning auto shotgun angled jauntily over his shoulder. Peering around the edge of the bookshelves, Ryan watched the man reach the front of the desk, look around, then do a violent double-take. He rushed clumsily around the desk, bending over to check the commander's bullet-blasted corpse.
No!
Ryan quickly crossed the carpeted floor on the balls of his feet, got behind Doug, gripped the man's neck in both hands, and twisted sharply.
It's going to take more than that, Cordor.
Doug's hand shot up and locked around Ryan's wrists, grinding his flesh and tendons against bone. Levering himself to his feet, still gripping Ryan's wrists, Doug turned, facing the double doors, and suddenly bending forward at the waist, flipped Ryan over his back. Rather than resist the maneuver and risk having his arms dislocated or torn from their sockets, Ryan kicked off from the floor, landing on his back but cushioning the fall with the soles of his feet. Doug staggered forward, off balance from the lack of resistance. He had no choice but to release Ryan's wrists or fall face forward. In the instant his upper body was still bent forward, almost parallel with the floor, Ryan performed a backward half-somersault, kicking up with both legs, the soles of his combat boots slamming into Doug's face. The man straightened, half blinded from the blood springing from his flattened nose and split lips. He staggered back and fetched up hard against the desk. Ryan rolled and came to his feet, with his left fist driving into Doug's belly with all his strength behind it. The man bent forward, clutching at his stomach. And Ryan slammed his right fist behind his adversary's left ear. Doug sagged, and Ryan chopped the back of his neck with the edge of his palm. Ryan jacked his right knee into his opponent's forehead, and pain exploded up and down his leg from ankle to thigh. Doug fell face down. Shit. The man forced himself over, fighting to get into a sitting position. His face was a mask of dark pink blood, and his expression was one of dazed, confused hurt. Drawing his Sig Sauer, Ryan moved behind him and put the boar against the back of his head.
The woman. Did you find her?
Doug buried his face in his hands.
Answer me!
Don't know where she is. The commander is dead.
And so are you.
The force of the shot slammed Doug's upper body forward, his face hitting the floor between his knees. Metal gleamed in the mixture of clotted brain matter, synthetic flesh, and blood. Though partially deflected by the metal plate in his skull, the bullet had still done enough damage to kill him. Ryan saw his sheathed punga on Doug's belt. Next, he took the man's ID badge from his lapel, attached the badge to his own coat, and unsteadily climbed to his feet. Ryan drew the headset from his inner pocket and put it on.
Ryan! Come in! Ryan, respond! God damn it! Why don't you respond?
Well, god damn it. That's what I am doing, Mildred.
Ryan?
Yeah, it's me. Are you all right?
You have to speak up!
Are you all right?
More or less. You?
The same.
What?
Where the hell are you?
I don't know exactly, but I found the primary cooling and circulation nexus. Where are you?
On the level where we split up. I've got the commander's ID badge, and you can find me by the locator lozenge.
I don't think there's a computer tie-in down here. I'll have to go up, get my hands on a badge, so I can access it. Listen, I can take out a generator down here, probably start a thaw. At the very least, it'll be a diversion.
Do it. On the level directly above me is some sort of a control room with a Matrans gateway. That'll be our escape route. I'll wait for you up there.
What about JB and the others?
I don't know. There's a vid circuit upstairs connected to the cave. When I checked it out a little while ago, there was no sign of them.
If they're not there, what are we gonna do?
We'll think about that later. First, we have to get out of here. Blow the generators.
When?
As soon as you can. I won't make my move until you've made yours. I'm sure all sorts of alarms, bells, and whistles will go off, and that'll be my signal. Acknowledged?
Acknowledged! You know something?
What?
We need to put more thought into planning our field trips!
Understood. Out.
Mildred turned to Uni.
You have to go back. It's not safe in there.
Why not? I've been here plenty of times.
She waved toward the row of generators below.
I'm going to blow those up. There's no telling what will happen.
I don't understand.
You don't have to. Just get back below. I think you'll be okay. I'll give you a minute to get started.
The red disc-shaped eyes moved from her face to the generators, then back to her face.
What about my new brain?
You don't need one, honey. The one you have is just fine. Now go!
Uni moved a few faltering steps toward the round hatchway, then turned, beaming broadly.
Come back when you're finished, okay?
I'll do my best. Be on your way now.
Uni flipped her a quick salute and scuttled through the hatch opening. It closed behind her. Mildred wanted to give Uni as much time as possible to get away from the area. As far as she or Ryan knew, destroying one generator might trigger an atomic chain reaction that would result in a do-it-yourself Hiroshima. She moved around the catwalks, heading for the optimum position from which to throw the grenades. Though her hand-eye coordination was excellent, she didn't possess the muscle strength or the experience to throw one of the deadly explosives very far. Her best bet was to get right over the generators and drop them straight down. She was able to reach a point on one of the walkways that was almost directly above the generator connected to the pump array. Best of all, it was only a couple of long steps to a lift cage. She examined the control.